carrying pregnancies to term and when they're carrying pregnancies to term that they want. And we should want it all. We should want that women should be able to survive and have dignity when they are pregnant and want to be pregnant. And we should also care about government coercively forcing women to carry pregnancies that they don't want for the benefit of random state legislators that these women do not even know.
Michelle Goodwin, we want to ask you to stay with us so we can talk more extensively, specifically about your book, Policing the Womb, Invisible Women and the Criminalization of Motherhood. And we'll post that at democracynow.org. Michelle Goodwin is Chancellor's Professor of University of California, Irvine School of Law. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Finance Committee meets the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify that a meeting is being held.
Morning. You are listening to The Gap here on your community, local community radio station, KBOO Portland.
That's us.
Yes, I ran out of breath in that one. I got so excited. I get so excited with that song.
Yeah, it's a good song to be starting off a Friday with, I say.
Yes, that's how you know you're alive. The blood is pumping and thrashing. I'm thrashing. The blood is pumping.
The blood is just helping you thrash.
Yeah, it's going everywhere. But stoked to be here. So happy to be in station again.
And yeah, we were off last week. We should introduce ourselves.
Chit-chatting. Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. I got so out of breath.
I'm Althea.
Hey, Althea. I'm Tammy. Hi.
Hey, nice to talk to you this morning, as we often do on Fridays.
Yes, and then all the verbs and the beautiful descriptors.
That's okay.
Insert beautiful descriptors.
Tammy, we sometimes like to exchange on the show a lot of superlatives.
Mm-hmm.
Big word.
Compliments,
yeah. But today we're just about our business. We just got too much going on.
Yeah, we are about business. And speaking of business, we are still in our beehive drive, and we are seeking for donations to keep this community resource able to resource the community. If you are able to donate to our drive, we'd really appreciate it. You can go to kboo.fm/give or type KBOO, that's KBOO, to 44321.
A little text.
Text message.
Yeah, and we really do rely on support from our community to keep everything up and running over here. And, you know, we really appreciate everybody's support. So, yeah. Also, before we jump into things, I got three things to say. One.
Go for it.
This is The Gap. What do we do on this show? Tammy and I like to split things up into two parts, right? So the first part, Tammy and I will be chatting. Second part, we have our community questions so that you, the listener, can call in. Today we're talking about the primary election that is coming up in 11 days now, on the 17th. We'll be specifically talking about elections in Multnomah County, so that includes Portland, Multnomah County, Metro. We're going to be looking through the voters' packet today, and then we're going to be asking you later, around 8:30, what helps you decide how to vote? So we do want to hear from folks at that point. So, you know, get ready to dial. The other thing I was going to say, just before we jump in, since we were off last week, so to refresh, of goodness gracious, what has happened since then? The Supreme Court leak was pretty big. Not going to spend too much of our time on it today, but I did just want to plug for folks, especially if you're feeling like, you know, you've gotten a lot of information about it. We do have a really great KBOO program called Row on the Rocks that Claire Ricciotto produced. We, on The Gap, actually interviewed her in December about it. And she has two episodes out so far, one about what would happen if Roe got overturned, how that would impact us in Oregon, and how it would impact folks in Idaho. So a good listen. I can link it on our episode page if folks are wanting to check that out.
Thank you. And I think folks would like to check that out. That's Roe on the Rocks. And it will be on the show notes. It's also on the KBOO website. That's KBOO.fm.
Yes. All right.
You hear this? This is the rustling.
We got paper. It's a real ASMR experience in here this morning.
The voters pamphlet for Oregon primary elections.
Yes.
May 17th, 2022.
Mm-hmm. Bing bang.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
I found some of
them. I didn't know that you were going to bring sound effects today. That like really
you
kind
hear
of,
these dogs barking in your front yard?
Yeah, it kind of changes the tenor of our discussion, perhaps.
Politics is all, it's all comedy, really. It's a sad, tragic comedy that is politics. But it is a civic engagement, which does have serious impact on our day-to-day lives, especially, you know, when we're talking about local elections. And in the mail, I got this thick packet.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's free newsprint. A little bit of paper mache after the election's over.
Oh, huh? Right. Yeah. It's like real newspaper paper.
Yeah.
And we're going to be kind of, I guess, highlighting the part in the pamphlet that is red.
The Multnomah County part. And mind you, we have Democratic ones, I think. Well, actually, this is the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
We got all of it. It goes state Democrats, Multnomah County, and then state Republicans.
So we'll be starting on page M17.
Everybody flip. Okay, sorry. Too much fun with the packet. Let's focus here.
Bing bang.
Okay, all right. Settle down over there.
And remember, a little while ago, we also had, we asked folks, what do they look for in a candidate?
Mm-hmm.
And the endorsements part was something that I was looking at. I even have a highlighter.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. Talk to me about your highlighting.
Yes, I have a highlighter. And I really should have had color coordinated and have to see like all the different endorsements that candidates have that are kind of like, on a values level, like oppose one another.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It makes you wonder, and I'll see it, you know, we talked about it a little bit last night, how it makes you wonder when a candidate has two endorsements from, let's say, bodies that kind of like oppose one another on again, like a values level.
Yeah.
What is the common interest that they would either get from the candidate, or what does endorsing them mean for that organization? So it's so much more, I don't want to say complex. The first thing comes to mind, it's a lot dirtier than we think, but you know, politics, what can we say?
Well, yeah, and I think the thing that we've talked about on this show before is that, you know, so, I mean, I think to talk just like, there's certain questions that they have to answer, the candidates, and they submit all this information. It gets printed in this packet, sent to everybody, and not verified by Multnomah County. It says it multiple times on the page, which, I mean, you know, I can understand that. It would be a lot of work to verify that kind of thing. But yeah, so they enter what their current occupation is, their occupational background, educational background, and prior governmental experience. Those are the ones that are required. And then they have a whole bunch of space to put in whatever they want. I think there's like a completionist bias where it's like if you filled up the whole page, it feels more legit. I don't know that that's right or wrong. But you know, candidates in the future trying to get as far down that page as you can, I think, is helpful. And then down at the bottom, typically people will list their endorsers. which can be a helpful metric because, right, and I think one of the things that is interesting about, you know, flipping through this packet is seeing what are the common issues that people are mm-hmm. identifying as, like, this is a thing that we need to be campaigning around. This is what I want to have messaging about. And you can read through all of them and kind of get lost in the details. But sometimes looking at the endorsements are helpful because it's like, oh, I appreciate the work that such and such group does. Or, like, I think that they do good work, so they've endorsed this candidate, so that maybe makes me think I'm better of them, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, that was the point that I was going to make. But it can be a helpful metric, but it can also be confusing, as Tammy was saying. Do you want to point out in particular the one that got you tripped up?
Yes, I'm just, there's a couple of KBOO shout-outs in here.
Oh, yeah.
I found a third one.
You did? Who's the third one?
Page 19.
Okay, sorry.
So the one that I was looking at that I was like, oh, though this is an interesting contrast. And that contrast kind of repeated itself with the Portland Business Alliance. For example, the Portland Business Alliance and Next Up Action Fund endorsing the same candidate. It's like, one is a little bit more grassrootsy and, let's say, a bit more radical on the progressive side, while the other is using private security firms to criminalize homelessness and harass houseless people. So it's just like, huh, well, I wonder what the common interest there would be for supporting this specific candidate.
That
was like one of the things that kind of like I was like, oh, well, this is I'll say a red light, but it was a light, you know, mm-hmm. a light turned on.
Yeah.
You know, when the light turns on, you know what they say about a light?
What do they say?
It sheds. Sheds light.
Shining, yeah.
Shining. so that was one of them.
Yeah, can I tell you, I kind of forgot that we elect the sheriff.
Yeah, that's...
that's like not... I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud that I forgot that that is a position that can be elected. But yeah, it's interesting to see what people are highlighting. And I will say that, like, definitely the houseless crisis is something that is highlighted across Multnomah County elections for, like, county commissioner and stuff like that. The sheriff mentions it at all the city of Portland and then Metro as well. Definitely something that people are trying to highlight. And I will say there's two city commissioners in Portland that are... are up in this primary. And one thing that's worth noting, if you haven't filled out your ballot yet, is that weird elections are such that if there is no Republican challenger, I think is the case. Basically, if there's a significant enough margin for one person for these city commissioner races, because actually I take it back, they're nonpartisan, they just like won't do the election in November. So this one is actually pretty consequential. If there's a big enough margin for one person, then that's it, you decided, and they don't start their job until like next January. But that was when that election happens, and I think that's when Dan Ryan got elected, I want to say.
Well, there are definitely some
I take that back, because he was filling in somebody else's seat anyway. Lots to discuss.
There's definitely some challengers for Dan Ryan this time around.
Yeah.
Some interesting candidates for sure. I don't know. I am very intrigued by the... This is really nice because, again, it's like... I think that a lot of these were written by the candidates themselves, so it really does give you a look into... like their process and what you know, like I'm assuming that they're not everyone at least has, you know, like a publishing firm and like a publicist and like some people that are like, oh, don't say that, or make sure you use this word, not that word. So it's really nice to see people kind of like say what they're saying and having to put their name down next to it and their picture in some cases. And yes, like you said, the housing crisis is definitely at the forefront. Everyone keeps talking about get Portland back to work. Are y'all going to pay? Get to work. You going to pay me proper wages before I get to work? What are you talking about? Go get Portland to work. Get me paid first. Rude.
Yeah, there's some. Well, okay. Can we talk about some of the more interesting ideas in here? I say they're more interesting because they're less talked about.
Sure.
Well,
which page are you flipping through?
I'm looking at M25 right now. I'm looking at Chris Brummer, who is a candidate who's running against Dan Ryan. One of the things that his profile highlights is the cost that it takes to register to run in a campaign.
Two paragraphs about it. And hey, I feel it.
Yeah.
I get it.
$30 to city commissioner, according to his little bio here. Candidate statement. Oh, yeah. And it costs money to even file your candidate statement. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, highlighting that is a barrier. So I thought that was an interesting thing to highlight. And then also he goes on to talk about the commissioner system, which the charter review is going on right now. Great time to check in on the charter review, I would say. Not up in this election, but coming soon, I believe. I thought that was interesting. There was also, for one of the Metro seats, Gary Lyndon Dye highlights that maybe we should get rid of Metro. Like the Metro Regional Government?
Abolish Metro.
Yeah, abolish Metro. Or make it the 51st state. Or he's sort of highlighting the government redundancy.
Right,
of having, you know, Portland and then the counties and then having, you know, this other government Metro that is like over all of those counties in a way. So that's kind of interesting. I think it just highlights the ones that are not necessarily echoed. Mm-hmm. What would be the things that you would highlight in a candidate statement? Like your general things?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. The endorsements are important to me because I know how much, for me, community is very important, and there's some organizations that have been pretty much like making sure that the people of this town like don't suffer like more than they already are.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been completely ignored, you know, and, so those organizations mean a lot to me and who they endorse. It has impact, at least what I think of the candidate. But then when I see like another, then we get like the PBA and I'm just like, that's not good. Why are y'all on the same page on this one? So it really does make me think, dive deeper into the candidate and their background into relation like, you know, of like these organizations and if they know people there, if they've worked there, if they've interned there,
mm-hmm.
Their background. And I think background does definitely speak. Background is big for me just so I know there's like, I'm gonna say like a paper trail, but just so I can like confirm where this person has been, where they've been serving, you know, for
yeah,
before getting coming in here.
Yeah, understanding where they're coming from.
How about you?
I mean, yeah, I think talking, yeah, now I'm just feeling like from a from like an editing standpoint, I'm like looking at all of these. It's like, well, what is the most effective way to use your page space? And I think like, yeah, a little bit of your like life story, I think helps people mm-hmm. figure out what you're about, a little bit about how the world or if you're, you know, whatever you're running for, how has it impacted you in your life? And like what inspired somebody to run kind of means a lot because to me, that's like, that's the fire in your belly, you know? And is that going to push you to follow through on all your campaign promises and stuff like that? Or was it like your buddy was like, oh, actually there's no one running against this like incumbent that people don't like. So like, get in there, bud. You know, I don't like if we're interested in change and stuff like that. And yeah, definitely the endorsements, listing policy priorities, I think is important. You don't get a lot of room here, but talking about like how you want to do things, because it's one thing to identify issues, right?
Yeah, identifying like, everyone. Yeah, that's no. Yeah,
it's written many different ways. Hey, if you didn't know there were issues in this county,
there any different ways
book,
that you can
guys.
Say it?
Yeah, that's different things that we could be checking out. Yeah, interesting. A lot of different things that you can highlight in here. I think it's also one of those things where like, you know, when you're talking about local politics in like a closer way, it's like, well, I know pretty much what a city commissioner does.
Right.
Or I have a good idea of what like the auditor does. But what is like a counselor on the Metro Council do? Like what is within their power, I think is also something to consider. Because it's all well and good to have somebody who, you know, shares your values and agrees that the mm-hmm. problems that you think are problems are also problems, but do they like reflect that in, you know, their capacity to do things, I think is also
And I
important.
Guess also identifying when, you know, seeing that there's an issue, and then and in here you can read, you know, some people try to root it back to certain things, but like that's also something I enjoy learning is how people are, what they're rooting these issues to, and what is quote unquote like the core issue of that is causing all these like trickle down problems.
Yeah.
And some of them are just like, oh no, bud, you totally missed the mark. It's not poor people just not knowing what they're doing. And mm-hmm. the problem is like way more, it's way bigger than that.
Oh yeah.
And there's some folks that really, yeah, that I think, in my opinion, like totally get it. Sharia Mayfield was an interesting candidate that I liked reading their literature. It was also like well written, you know, and their background is also very interesting in law and being a Portland born Egyptian American Muslim woman. So mm-hmm. it's like really. And also, I guess that's another thing, their occupation, you know, that's prior to coming on into government, if they were like in the private sector, understanding that a little bit more.
Yeah. I think also like connecting, if it's possible with your given experience, like how to connect that to the issues that
for
you're
sure.
talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Duncan Wong on, what is this, M34 for Metro District 6, I think that this is like a good outline of like, okay, so the housing crisis, here's what he's been doing related to the housing crisis, or like community safety, here are the experiences that have come from that. And I think that, you know, if you judge that too heavily, you definitely give a lot of power to an incumbent, like somebody who's already been in office and has had the opportunity to change those kinds of things. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can get experience. For all, hey, job seekers out there, don't get limited by what, you know, the listed qualifications are. Doesn't mean that, especially now, but like generally speaking, don't get too tripped up on those kinds of things, because your experience can come from a lot of places. You
this
know?
Is true. And volunteering can, you know, a lot of folks will get a lot of experience from volunteering and actually be able to turn that into a paid gig or a position or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like very, and also knowing that folks are doing, you know, gaining experience and not coming into a situation thinking, I know everything because I went to school for this, so I just know it, period. Like that experience, that friction, that tension, that moment of, oop, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do right now. Like that is, I think, what really is like at the crux of being a good public civil servant and community organizer, which is a lot of this is basically community organizing and action.
Yeah, like what is, and I think when it's focused on like, hey, this is my priority, but also like, it's also my job to serve the voter, and what do my constituents really want to prioritize? And I think we've seen that a lot of it is identified as climate crisis, and especially if we don't need to flip to it, but like the state reps for the various districts are talking a lot about climate change, housing crisis, because housing crisis goes beyond the metro area. It's pretty bad everywhere. So yeah, there's a lot of agreement on that kind of thing. And then also, you know, trying to pull in and like, what else are you guys feeling? What else is important to you for me to get done? You know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that the less of that process or less of that, acknowledgement that things have been tried, and I'm not gonna chances are your ideas are probably not revolutionary or new in any way, and they've either just hasn't been executed, or maybe they have, but in a way that, you know, that wasn't, I don't know, maybe different in like a 2 percentile ways or something, right?
Yeah.
But acknowledging that there has been a process and that people have tried things, and naming what failed and how, you know, we can do it better and what resources we'll use to do it, as in not reinventing the wheel, but like, for example, calling on these people who endorsed you.
Yeah.
is to me is like also a good thing, because some are saying like, we just vote for change, vote for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What? Okay. You okay?
Hey, I feel like, you know, Obama did that, and it's like, is everybody else just chomping on his flavor now?
change we can believe in.
Vote for me for more of the same. Vote for me for everything that's happening right now. And I do think that there's something that you point out that I think is interesting when we're thinking about, you know, people who are called, let's say, called to run for office, like that there is a little bit of ego drive in there. So like identifying those things that are like, it would have gone different because I would have done these specific things, rather than, well, if I was there, it wouldn't have happened.
And I hate that, because it's like, well, then come help. You know, what can I tell you? You think could have done a better job? Please. Show me. Let's do it. Let's do a better job together.
Yeah.
We're like, we're on the same team at the end of the day, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we're all trying to live and thrive. Come on
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the status quo is not acceptable. They're going hardcore with the bold. It's interesting to see what people have bold.
Yeah, we were talking about the formatting of it all. I love a list. I love a bullet point, you know? I wish they, you know, it would make this better, is if they let them use Microsoft Word art. That would be fun.
It's interesting to see who was the ones that wrote their own bio or had friends of whatever write their bio.
Yeah, their campaign or their pack.
That would be nice. You know, I would love for you to write, if I was writing for something, for you to write my bio and just have that as, and then I'll put it on my fridge, and then whenever I feel down
ready.
Or something.
Oh, not for when you run for office.
Oh, no, I will never do that, no.
You just want me to write about your life. Look, when you're ready for me to ghostwrite your biography, your memoir, I'm happy to do it.
Memoirs, ugh.
And that's something I offer to all my friends. Mm. Just when you're ready for the memoirs, let me know. I'm happy to help.
I've remembered, noted, and put in the vault.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when the time comes, of course.
Oh, wow. I forgot about this person. Okay, cool. I wish they had people's pronouns in here. I just
Yeah, some people
really
put their own, but yeah, that would be helpful. Yeah. I mean, I think we should also, like, I think having a photo is helpful.
Yeah.
I understand not wanting to have your photo blasted to everybody in the county or in the state, but, you know, we're talking public service here. Maybe it could be like, will they let you submit a drawing?
Ooh, I like that.
A caricature?
Or just something that would, like a picture that like isn't you, but describes your essence?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if they would allow that. Maybe not. Actually, I feel like they probably would not allow that. Because there could be secret coded symbols in it.
Oh, I'll see it. There it is. That's why you're the news director right there.
I don't think that is why, actually.
Got him.
I think that was conspiracy, what I just, what I just spewed out. Hey,
you got me.
Okay, well, I got a big supporter in Tammy. In
Free
case
right
he wasn't sure about that. One thing I'll also mention that is kind of exciting for us Oregon voters this election cycle is that our ballots, you can send your ballot up until election day. So it's not the same thing that we had last cycle where you have a certain day that you can mail it by. I think it's like the Friday before usually, and then you have to drop it off if you do it after that. Ballots postmarked on election day now count. Let's go.
But it has to be like postmarked with the first.
Yeah, you
got to
put
thing.
It in the mail. Yeah. I mean early Tuesday, I think. Mm. I don't think you could. I actually don't know. I don't know a whole ton about how postmarking works, but I do know that it gives you extra days to mail it.
Mm.
And you can always drop it off. There's we still got those the good old drop off sites.
The boxes.
Yeah. Drive up, walk up, do whatever you need to do. But I thought that was cool.
This is very exciting. I'm actually excited for this.
Yeah, it'll make life a little bit easier, a little less complicated. Especially because for me as a voter, I'm like, you know, paying attention. But then it's like I'm like, it's not until Tuesday that I really remember that I need to turn my ballot in by 8 p.m. So. You know, giving folks a few more options. I think only like 3% of voters have turned in ballots so far, so there is still time. I mean,
3%.
We have 11 days, so get into it. There's not too many ballot measures. There's a ballot measure for the city of Gresham and for Beaverton School District. So if you are not in either of those places, you don't have any ballot measures to check out just yet, although we are definitely expecting some for us in November, for sure. The Gresham one is like expanding the renewal area, I think, or allowing them to continue to spend money on transportation and parks, I think. That's not a pro or con about it. That's just like a rough outline of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then some school repairs in the Beaverton School District. And the thing that I think are helpful, well, this is actually interesting because it doesn't have the argument in favor and the argument against for ballot measures. Sometimes those are included in these kinds of things, which is helpful to try to figure out how do we feel about something, especially because, you know, a lot of times with ballot measures, when you see it elsewhere, it'll like explain to you the broader context where sure. It's like, well, sure, I support spending money on parks, or sure, I'm like okay with like whatever arts thing you want to spend money on my city. But what does that mean contextually for the rest of the money that the city has to spend? I think that's something that is important. And also that the other thing it makes me think of is the ballot measures that we've already seen. I mean, for that would be coming up in November that we've already seen kind of like fall on their faces because they didn't include the entire text that they would propose to change. So, hey, ballot measure writers out there.
Hey,
just make sure you get it all.
All in there.
Yeah, just filling out the forms, you know?
After all that work, you know, it's really truly such a shame, too.
It is.
On a technicality, you know?
Right.
And then we get things like Ted Wheeler. Who said that?
What?
Who said that?
I don't know that there's a straight cause and effect line there.
Well, because I was thinking about the Teresa Redford write-in campaign and how that took so many, well, I don't want to say, like, split the vote, but I think it went to show that
majority of people voted against him.
Yes. But because technically, you know, it was a write-in campaign, the votes ended up, he ended up getting more votes.
Yeah, because it was a plurality, not a majority.
Plurality. Oh, wait, I got one.
What? I'm waiting.
Bing bang.
Okay.
Got him. There it is.
And it was perfectly timed, and that's the thing that we like the most about it. are we ready to take a quick break and then open up our phone lines?
We sure are.
All right. If you are just tuning in, this is The Gap. We're talking about the primary elections happening on May 17th. We're flipping through the voters' packet, and just after this short break, we're going to be talking to you about what's helping you decide your vote. So stick with us, and we'll be right back.
We are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me.
Hello.
This is, of course, The Gap Talk Radio, bringing it to you on Friday mornings. We're bridging the gap, folks. I feel like we haven't expressed why we're called that in a little while. But yeah, we're in our second half now. Would love to have folks call in, thinking about this primary election, thinking about elections, candidates generally. What helps determine your vote? What are you looking for? What is, you know, what are your important issues this election? We'd love to get to chatting with you about it. So yeah, give us a call, 503-231-8187.
And we already have a caller on the line. Edie, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to us, Edie. What's up?
We have the most power when we have a larger percentage of the vote by voting in smaller. And some of the most powerful votes we can have is regarding city government. I think the most powerful and effective change maker in all of Portland city history has been not a mayor, but a city council member named Joanne Hardesty. She has created a in collaboration with a lot of folks getting creating a community of support to have the most powerful and effective, strongest grassroots campaign ever. And she created the Portland Clean Energy Fund, in which we have the wealthy corporations who are other than food and medicine pay their fair share of taxes, which is the first time I know of, in order to have solar roof energy, local solar community, and insulation of homes and jobs for those who don't normally have the housing, would otherwise become homeless and don't have the jobs to create more social justice. Has done more about police accountability, even though each year, the Portland Police Bureau has more money and more benefits and more take-home pay than ever before, with more resources and more power. She reduced the amount of their increase and has created the Portland Street Response to be better than the Cahoots in Eugene as a national model of both programs, and has done more in lobbying the state about rent control so that cities have more options for environmental, social justice, economic injustice, et cetera. So I really wanted to make sure we have the Police Bureau and the Portland Business Alliance and big corporations who are anti-workers, anti-tenants, anti-patients going against her, then you know she's got to be pretty great. She has hate talk and death threats from Germany and around the world because she's actually tried to make the world a whole lot better place and is effective with her incredible ideas. But in addition to her great team and working more about democracy, having people heard who otherwise don't heard, have a voice and choice who normally are excluded, in addition to that, it's her character, incredible courage physically and morally, great heart. She is trying to lead our city to govern ourselves with love as opposed to the fear, hate, and divide and conquer. So at the city level, I want us to really make sure that we support Joanne Hardesty. Volunteer, donate, yard sign, do everything you can, get Joanne Hardesty elected. And then at the county level, in Clackamas County, Libra Ford, we really need to have her power of character and her ability to stand up to the bullying and the fascism that is there and the dysfunction. Then at the state level, we need to have Mark Gamba in the new district. He is a man of incredible courage, integrity, heart, might be a soft-spoken introvert who doesn't want to have being a politician, but having been a world-class National Geographic photographer, he saw all the harm by climate change, and those who are most harmed are those who do the least harm. So he came back to show his pictures to wake people up, and no one had the courage. So he became mayor of Milwaukee and has a law which we have 40% of every property, public, private, commercial, residential, industrial, et cetera, to have tree canopy has increased the women and ethnic and racial minorities having voice and choice on council and government and jobs. It's the only town and city I know of, the city of in the state of Oregon, where police brutality has actually gone down.
Wow.
Has increased housing for 500 new units outside of Milwaukee Hospital. It's been
you are a wealth of information about all of these candidates.
He's been working at the state level, the free lobbyist, nobody buys bills, but there he does it, to get better legislation available for housing options. Joanne Hart is the incredible variety of ways in which we need to have more people housed and not just be limited. Right now, Joanne Hart is correct, and Mark Amba's correct, that we're, a lot of the money we spend is not actually going into the housing for the people who need it most. It's what I would call the middleman parasite, who then doesn't pay rent, doesn't pay the permit, doesn't pay taxes, and then exploits the visibly miserable who are by Portland police and others who's around. The Milwaukee police do not arrest you for being poor. They do not harass houseless, but actually get, believe it, and ask anyone who's houseless in Milwaukee a while, that actually help you get services and are treated with respect and humanity. I've never heard of that anywhere. At the government, at the federal level, we need to vote for Jamie McLeod Skinner, engineer who brought back buildings, schools, hospitals, and war-torn Kosovo, an attorney working for environmental justice and indigenous rights and water protection, and government. So she's worked at city level, school district level, county. She's at the water district. She was brought in as the city manager for talent that was destroyed by fire. So she's worked at all different levels. A person of service, one of the first out lesbians in Oregon in community service, and impeccable courage, will not take any money from fossil fuel, the war industry, et cetera. She has been working to stop Eastern Oregon from being controlled by the fossil fuel industry for the fracked gas pipeline going down Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon, to Klamath Falls, and then Coos Bay, Jordan Cove, and the lithium mines that would totally destroy our air, our water, our soil.
Edie, I'm going to have to, I'm going to ask you to just land your plane real quick and so we can get some other callers in, but we really do appreciate all of this knowledge.
That was my last sentence.
Oh, all right.
Well, there you go. See, great minds think alike. Well, we really appreciate that, and yeah. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Edie. Lots of good info there. If other folks want to call in, we're asking, what helps determine your vote? What are you looking for? What is important to you in this election? Does not have to be candidate-based. We can talk generally here. 503-231-8187 is that number.
And we have Sue on the line. How are you, Sue? Can you hear us?
I'm good, and yes, I can hear you. Let's see. I agree with Edie on all that she said. I'm at Clackamas County voter, and there is a problem with our ballots, apparently. A whole bunch of them have the scan code got smeared at the printers, so they are going to have to transfer all of those ballots onto new ballots.
Oh.
So I have some great fear about the controversy that's going to come about this, because there's already people that are questioning our elections. So this is kind of scary to me. The woman that is the county clerk, Sherry Hall, I think she has some responsibility here in sending out ballots that have smeared scan codes. She is running for re-election in November, and I would say to vote for the woman that's running against her. I think her name is Catherine McCollum. Anyway, she's not running in the May election, but she will be running in November. So let's get Sherry Hall out of there. She's kind of a partisan hack anyway, but this is a real problem, and I think the integrity of our elections is going to be challenged because of that. So anyway,
yeah,
that's all I have to say.
I'm looking at the Oregon Live article about it right now. It says, and I quote, "It's one of at least four errors or misdeeds, one of them criminal, that have marred Clackamas County elections since 2010, and one of two significant mistakes the county elections office made this year."
So, yep.
Yikes. Oh. our Clackamas County voters are, our best wishes go out to you. And yeah, definitely focusing on that accountability aspect for something so simple as don't send ballots that can't be used.
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, thank you
anyway,
for that, Sue.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
And vote for Libra Ford, for sure. We need some people on the Clackamas County Commission that can stand up to our least favorite commissioner, Tootie. So,
right.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget about Tootie. Yeah. Thank you, Sue. Have a good one.
Thanks for the show. Bye.
Yeah.
Almost forgot, huh?
Yeah. You know, county commissioners, they do have impact on things. Good reminder of what's going on in the other counties in our region. This is I'll link this Oregon Live article as well about the printing error for Clackamas County ballots, copying votes by hand. That's pretty
bad, considering like all of the stuff that happened last year and earlier this, what year are we in? Yeah, that happened in the last 8 months.
Yeah.
You'd think that, yeah, this is, you wouldn't want to fuel the fire by,
They're like, no, it's good. I'll just copy it by hand. What if, maybe it's just sort of like everybody just needs to write in on a post-it note. Like, do you like me? Check yes or no.
Well, it makes me think of the Portland Charter Review.
Mm-hmm.
That we've talked about it a couple of times. We got to get someone from there to talk to us about.
I'm sure
doing.
We can get that, that going.
But I think that this is a little frightening, as Sue was saying.
Yeah, the other error is that the voter pamphlet for Clackamas County has multiple candidates on the wrong pages listed. So if you're flipping through your voter's pamphlet in Clackamas County, I think might need to take some of your own notes to make sure that it all is checking out.
I got a highlighter if you need it.
Yeah, if you need a highlighter.
Right here.
If other folks want to call in, we're talking about the primary elections that are coming up on the 17th. What is helping to determine your vote? What are you looking for? What's important to you this election? 503-231-8187. We really do want to hear from you. Have gotten some great comments so far. 503-231-8187.
Woof. this is something.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't try to get too lost in the printing errors.
I'm gonna exit out of this. I'm not even gonna look at it anymore.
Yeah, it's a little bit getting sucked into it. While folks are calling, of course, we'd like to remind you that this is KBOO's Spring Membership Hive Drive. Now is a great time to support us. Having this opportunity for community conversation, especially ahead of something so important like the primary election, is a great community resource. So if you want to help support the continuing of this radio station, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. We really appreciate everybody who has supported us so far, and good stuff here on The Gap. I should also just replug what the name of the show is.
What I guess while folks call in at 503-231-8187, what is something that you're looking for, I guess specifically for this election cycle, not really in general, as a voter?
I think some of what we were talking about earlier is like specific action,
mm-hmm.
and specific, like, here's the problem and here is what I can do about it, or here's how I would plan to tackle it, or, you know, having a track record in government or in community of doing things related to that. I think that's really what I'm looking for, and having that, yeah, having that knowledge, having that foresight in a way, having that like intention, I think is something that that I'm really looking for sure.
Yeah, and I think Edie mentioned, I forgot which candidate, but they, how they traveled and they came back. Oh, the mayor of
Jamie McLeod Skinner.
Yeah.
We interviewed Jamie McLeod Skinner a couple years ago when she was running for the Democratic nomination for Secretary of State. She's very cool. And she's running against Kurt Schrader.
Mm-hmm.
Incumbent Kurt Schrader. And I'm in the new 5th District, so I've been getting bombarded with Kurt Schrader ads. the new one, I think they got the Biden endorsement. So it's like,
ooh,
this fold-out piece of paper that's like, President Biden wants you to re-elect Kurt Schrader. And then there's like a poll quote from Nancy Pelosi on the bottom that's like, we need Kurt Schrader back. Please, please send him back to us, Oregon voters. which I was amused by. Let's put it that way. let's put it the way that I was amused by it. And he's put out a lot of campaign, and I'm just speaking from my own experience of like what's been in my mailbox, put out a lot of ads about how he's endorsed by Planned Parenthood, which makes me which like, and that was before the Supreme Court leak.
When we do have one more caller, Harry is on the line with us. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hey.
We hear you.
Hey. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Too bad I live in this district here in Portland. I can't vote for the district number 5 with Kurt Schrader. Schrader is considered a dino. You heard of a rhino, Republican in name only. He's a dino, Democrat in name only. And I don't know if everyone remembers what he did in a few of the... some of the legislature that came out of Congress, he voted no on 3 of them. Mm-hmm. So it was like, and I was just hoping that he's defeated. The next question I have is Multnomah County chair. Thank goodness they put the Cofferies can't take over the county anymore. First, so there's going to be a new county chair now because they made a term limit on the county chair and on the county whatever. So this completely new candidates for the county chair, and I've been trying to find out more information about it because I have to ask someone to read it for me because I'm blind. What do they say about the county chair?
Yeah, there's 6 candidates for the county chair. Let me just, we got a good chuckle out of the Kurt Schrader bit.
Dino,
I just
got to
say, I think Dino is great. And yeah, that one of the foremost things on my mind when I think about Kurt Schrader is voting down on reducing drug prices. So, but yeah, there are two folks running, three. Three that have been Multnomah County commissioners are running for the chair. So Lori Stegman, Jessica Vega Peterson, and Sharon Mirren have all been Multnomah County commissioners. That's like what their occupation lists. So those three are running all with their own bevy of endorsements. And there is Sharia Mayfield, as Tammy mentioned earlier, who was a law professor and civil rights attorney. Joe Demers, who... runs Portland Disposal and Recycling, and Bruce Broussard, who is executive administrator, No Veteran Left Behind Oregon, Inc., is helping out veterans. So, yeah, there's a lot of choices for this one. I wonder if there should be, like, an accessibility aspect for people who don't... Hang on, I'm looking for it.
Yeah, they do have that, but it involves... usually... I have my caretaker when he comes by and reads everything out for me, including the book and everything. So we still got 2 weeks before the election, so I probably will find out more about it. But I'm just glad that they have term limits now on the county chair.
Yeah, lots to choose from this time, for sure. I was going to say something else, and now I forgot.
It's okay, but I do agree. I agree with you. I think that limit...
Oh,
good.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead, Althea. You're
no. Talking. Sorry. I thought you were saying something there, Tammy.
Oh no. Go ahead,
Harry.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much for taking my question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have
a good one. Yeah. There it is. Oh, the thing I was going to mention is that you got a little extra time because the post date.
Oh, right. Yes. And again,
two Tuesdays from now.
For folks listening, you got a little extra time now because, well, don't take it for granted, though.
Yeah. You need to be doing extra research.
Get
the nose to the grindstone, people.
There it is.
Make your vote count.
Make your vote count. So you can have your vote stamped on the 17th. I'm like not describing it properly. You can mail in.
You can put it in your mailbox on Tuesday morning, and you'll be fine.
Put it in your mailbox, not mail it in. Yes, by the 17th. This is great. We have a couple more minutes. If someone would like to call in, 503-231-8187. Your opinion about what's going on with the I guess got so distracted.
We're asking people what helps determine your vote, what you're looking for in this election. Are there like issues in particular that you're looking for people to address? What's important to you? Give us a call. 503-231-8187.
Thank you very much. Some of these quotes are like they're just really really sweet. You know?
Yeah, I like the quotes. There's one that I wanted that I liked a lot, and now I can't find it. What would you want your quote to say? I feel like it's almost like yearbook-like. But your yearbook goes out to everybody in the county. You can hear me leafing through here trying to find the quote that I wanted to find. Yeah, and I mean, now I'm just thinking about the process of, like, going to... Oh, yeah, it was Sharon Mirren. Storm large, just all caps, Sharon rocks, exclamation point.
And that's, again, that use of bold. Yeah. When we have Barth on the line, can you hear us?
I can, thank you. A good show today. Thanks for your efforts. One thing I just want to jump on is you just said you can put it in your mailbox on Tuesday or whatever. They have to put it in a postal box. And not just wait for the mailman to pick it up. It's got to go into the system.
Okay. Appreciate that clarification.
Yeah, that's all.
Thank you, Barth. Appreciate that.
You bet. Good day.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Oh, that is very important.
No, we needed that clarification. We are not trying to spread misinformation on this program.
We have another caller on the line. Warren, can you hear us?
Did you say Warren?
Yep, here you are. You're on there.
Hi. A couple of quick blips, you know, it doesn't really have to do with anything locally about the elections, except for the fact that I deliver to printers, and I watch dumpsters of things getting thrown away when they scan over everything and look over it very carefully, and I'm kind of more a believer in conspiracy type things, and I got to say that I find it hard to believe that code was a mistake. You know, somebody could have let that pass through, but that's kind of one thing. As far as the direction that I have decided to vote, and I went back on this just last time, and then I said I would never vote for another Democrat. Not that I vote Republican either, but I always went Green Party, and because of the way things had gone with Trump and all that, I decided to go back on it, and I'm disappointed in myself. Hmm. I wanted to say something about what Hillary said in 2016 about Bernie Sanders, and then that was is that he is not one of us. I could be wrong, but I don't believe I have heard any Democrat, any moderate Democrat say any such thing about Sinema or Manchin. And, you know, and that's because I think that they're really just doing the bidding of making sure the status quo stays the same and that nothing really changes. And if people don't start, and what I'm doing is I'm just going to be voting Green Party and Green Party candidates for now on. You know, this is something else there, and I'm like it happens, there's not much time, and I'm kind of drawing a blank at the moment, so
you're all good.
I just wanted to make those few comments, you know, things. Oh, that's right, I've written letters to, you know, that I've forwarded over to, I say I'm a Washington voter, over to the moderate Democrats to get them to do things about, and I'm saying things that cut deep into things such as the climate change problem and all of that. And all I have gotten back when it cuts deep is, form letters back saying that that I'm wrong and that the organizations that I have forwarded these letters to are wrong, and that they are not going to support that. And that is the moderate Democrats. They're not going to do anything if it cuts too deep, and so they'll go along with the sort of status quo general things, the consensus of what most people think, so that they can keep themselves where they are and keep the real people who want to do things out. And hooray for Edie for bringing that stuff up about Joanne Hardesty, because I listen to Lars Larson sometimes as much as I can stand to. I know a lot of people that listen to him, and everybody that listens to him, most of the people, they just repeat what he says, and they hate her.
Yeah,
you know, they say that she's such a huge problem, and they get it from him, you know. And what I think is that that Joanne Hardesty wasn't the person that, with all the things that she has done, what they are forgetting is that it was the people that put her in there, you know?
Right, definitely.
Because of what she said, right? Right. And what she's doing.
She had that track record.
Yeah, you know, so that's it. Hey, thanks again. You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you. We are coming right up on the end of our time here. We do really appreciate everybody calling in. I think that I just wanted to make a quick clarification about the Clackamas County ballot situation. I think that the mistake that they're pointing out is that that they shouldn't have ever been sent out, regardless of the printing error. And hey, you're listening to The Gap. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. Great conversation today. Check out our website, and we'll see you next time.
Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, and we're in our annual spring membership drive. You can help us meet our $56,000 goal by going to kboo.fm/give to make a contribution today. All donations will be matched up to $12,000 thanks to a generous group of anonymous donors. KBOO's independent programming is only possible with your support. So give now at kboo.fm/give.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production.